I want to talk to you this morning about what to do in the wilderness. What to do in the wilderness, right? What is the wilderness? What am I talking about? You know, when things aren't going right, right? When God, you feel like God's promised you something, but it's not here, right? Lord, I thought you said, and yet it's not, but what do I do? Because many of us do the wrong thing, and it keeps us from what God's promised us. Right? Come on, God is a faithful God. He's a sure God. He's a just God. He's a right on time God. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. God is so good. He's so faithful. I'm so glad to be His child. Amen. I'm so glad to be privileged that He would use me in any capacity. Amen. That the anointing of God could be on my life. Woo! Even when I don't feel that you're working. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Are you in this verse? Come on, are you in this verse? Do you see yourself in this verse? Tomorrow morning when you get up with, you know, something that's not right, are you going to see yourself here? See, because I've said this before, if you can see it, you can be it. Right? When you get a picture of it on the inside, the outside things have to change in order to get you where you need to be. But watch this again. Therefore, holy brethren. Holy brethren. And this term is male and female, right? Yeah. They just don't like to use the term sistren. I don't know. But listen, holy brethren, you'll get it in a minute. Partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Why is He the apostle and high priest of our confession? It's because when we confessed with our mouth and believed in our heart that Jesus was Lord, He became my apostle and my high priest. Not just everybody's, not just the whole world's, He became mine. I took it personally. Right? I took it personally. Come on. He's my high priest. He's my apostle. He was sent to me. Right? Come on. Keep remembering that. Because watch. Now let's go on in this chapter. Glory to God. I love His Word. Who was faithful to Him who appointed Him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. For this one who has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. In other words, He was the Word at the beginning. He was the Word in the middle. He's going to be the Word at the end. We're talking about Jesus. He was, He is, and He's coming again. Glory to God. Glory to God. For every house is built by someone, but He who built all things is God. Glory to God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which should be spoken of afterwards. What's he saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying everything that Moses did, everything that he wrote down, everything that God did through him was to testify of what Jesus did. Right? That Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that Moses did. It's a type and a shadow, and we're going to see that in the Word as we go on. But the main thing, get this in your heart. Jesus is the finisher of my faith. He's already done some things. See, in the promise is the finish. Let me say that one more time. In the promise is the finish. But it's my faith that gets me from the promise to the finish. What's my faith? I believe what he said. And I not only believe it, I'm willing to die in the process of getting. In other words, I'm putting my whole life on the line, I believe. It's like this, and I love this movie. I've shared this before. In one of the Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, there's a place, I think it was the Holy Grail one, where there's this chasm, and the cup of the Holy Grail is on the other side of this big ravine, deep, you know, just deep ravine. And it talked about that you have to walk by faith. Right? You have to walk by faith. And so the first step over that cavern was like this. Nothing under my foot. It wasn't until I went like this that the step appeared. And then the next one appeared. And then the next one appeared. But you still have to step, putting all your weight out there, that if something's not there, you're going down. Right? You're going down. But we've got to get the picture on the inside of us that Jesus, who is the author, the finish of our faith, he's our apostle, he's our high priest. If he's spoken to us something, we don't have to stay on the other side wishing and hoping. We've got to be able to step. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, come on. Come on. We're going somewhere. Look at this verse 6 says, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are. That should just get us right there. Come on. But Christ, watch this, as a son over his own house, whose house we are. What's a house for? It's where we live. Right? It's where we're protected. But watch this, whose house we are. I'm the house of God. I'm Jesus' house. How? Because I'm his part of his body. Everywhere I go, he goes. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Now this hope here, we've talked about hope a lot in the past, but hope isn't a wish for. I sure hope this turns out. Well, I'm just wishing that God will come through. This hope is a confident expectation based on the one who said it, that surely it's coming to pass. Glory to God. My hope is in you, Lord. My trust is in you. My faith is in you. Come on. Hope is as powerful. Come on. Hope, faith, and love. All three of them, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we've talked about love and we've talked about faith, but hope is just in there, man. It's the triplets, right? But hope, man, I have a confident expectation that he who promised is faithful. And so my hope is in the fact that that promise is going to carry me through to the finish. Come on. What has he said? Whatever he said, I can have, right? If he said that I can walk in peace, that his peace that passes all understanding, then I don't care how much turmoil is on the outside, right? I'm going to walk through toward the peace in Jesus' name. Glory to God. And I don't care what obstacles are in between me and that peace, I'm walking in that peace. Come on. Why? Because Jesus is my apostle and he's my high priest. Are you with me? Come on. Is he yours today? Do you have any confidence? But what do you have to do with that confidence? Hold fast. Hold fast. Why? Because there's something going to try to knock you off of it. If there wasn't anything to try to knock you off of it, you wouldn't have to hold on to it at all. Right? But we have to hold fast of it. Let's go on. This is so good. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, when does he say it? He said it way back when. He said it here and now, right? But he's going to say it tomorrow too, right? So who's he talking to? He's talking to me. You talking to me? You're talking to me, right? You're talking to me. You talking to me? You're talking to me. Come on. Let him talk to you right now. Right here, right now. Today. When's today? Right now. So today is right here, right now. Are you listening to me? You're here, you're listening to me over the internet, whatever. It's right now, right here. Today, if you will hear His voice. If. Well, if He's speaking, I'm hearing. Let me just say that again. For me, at my house, if He's speaking, I'm hearing. Right? Right? And here's what you have to do sometimes. Have you ever been trying to watch TV or something, and you're trying to watch something, and there's chaos all around you, especially as dad, trying to watch the football game, and the kids are just running all over the place. At some point, at a crucial time in the game, dad's going to get up and say, "Shut up! I'm trying to listen to the game." Sometimes in our heads, with all the circumstances that are going around us, we have this still small voice that's trying to speak to us. And we've got to stand up and say, "Shut up! He's talking, I'm listening." That was worth the price of admission right there. I can say shut up to the devil in Jesus' name. I can say shut up to the thoughts that are coming to my mind. I need to stand against them. I need to listen. Today, come on, today, if you'll hear His voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Glory to God. Don't harden your heart. How do you harden your heart? How is that possible? God's working in your life. You're seeing God. You've heard testimonies of how good God is, how faithful He is. How does your heart get hardened in that? It gets hardened because things don't happen according to your timetable. Right? Circumstances come up. They pop up that, "Well, God, I thought You said..." Right? "Nobody likes me anymore, God, because You said something and I'm working on it and they don't like the fact..." Come on. But we've got to get to the place where we understand that it doesn't matter what the outside is doing. If God has spoken to me, I'm not moving. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to quit. And watch this. Go back to verse 1 really quick, if you would, Josh. Verse 1. "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." Go on to the next verse. Verse 2. "Who is faithful to Him who appointed Him, as Moses was faithful to all His house." Jesus is the one that we focus on in order to keep our heart soft. Yes. Come on. Jesus has to be in our thoughts. Yes. Every day, every hour, every minute. I'm filtering everything through Him. Come on. Jesus. Come on. Glory to God. Verse 10 says, "Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known My ways. I swore in My wrath, they shall not enter My rest." Was that God's fault? Was that God's fault that they were in the desert for 40 years and the whole generation was wiped out? Or was it God's will for them all to march right into the promised land? See, Jericho was postponed for a generation. Are we going to let Jericho be postponed from our generation? Come on. Not me. I'm standing on the fact that Jesus spoke some things in His Word and they're true for me. Come on. And they're true for my generation. They're true. Come on. It's not up to the next generation, the generation after that. It's going to happen for me because God spoke it. And Jesus is not only my Savior, but He's my apostle. He was sent to me. I'm His house, and He's my high priest. He takes care of everything that disqualifies me from doing what He has called me to do. That is so awesome. Verse 12, it says, "Beware lest there be any of you have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." You know that right now, today, in our country, in the body of Christ, there are men and women who have served God for a long time that are departing from the faith. And the names don't really matter. Some say, "Well, yeah, boy, that he was big because I saw him on TV." Now, forget all of that. It doesn't matter whether they're on TV or they're sitting next to you one day and gone the next, right? They're departing. They're departing. Why are they departing? Because they haven't guarded their hearts where the thoughts contrary to Jesus come in. Right? But watch this. Beware lest there be any of you. Who has to beware? Come on. We're talking about what to do in the wilderness. You have to beware. You have to beware because there are thoughts that are going to come. Say, "Well, you see, that didn't happen. The prophet said this and that didn't happen. Or this happened and that happened." Look, you've got to get steadfast on, "Lord, if I die believing what you said, I'm going to die happy." Right? Because I've already made up my mind that Jesus is my Lord. I've already confessed that, and I'm holding fast to that confession. I'm not going off of that confession. Jesus is Lord. Come on. I'm not going to be one of those brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart. Now look at what he calls an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief. You know, I believe that we all have faith, but there's also a level of unbelief that we have to deal with. Right? It's like the man who came to Jesus. Jesus said, "Look, at all things are possible to those who believe." He turned around. I love this answer. He said, "I believe, but help thou my unbelief." See, unbelief comes first of all in the thoughts. And you have to come against those thoughts where the unbelief. Right? Here's one thought of unbelief. "Well, it could work for so-and-so, but it won't work for me." Well, wait a minute. The Bible says he's no respecter of persons. Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm just not one of the blessed ones. That other person, they're just so blessed all the time. Nothing ever happens to them. They've always got a testimony. In fact, when they get up in church, I get mad because I never have a testimony. I believe that we're going to find out some things today that maybe have kept God back from being able to give us the testimony that we're looking for. But if we'll change those things, look out, devil, the testimony's on its way. Right? The testimony is on its way. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All of us can be seen in our wilderness. But we have to determine whether we're going to the other side or not. Glory to God. Well, you know, God will do whatever God wants to do. I know that God is sovereign. But God isn't behind everything that happens. Right? Man has choice, free will choice. There's a cause and effect that happens. Glory to God. But here's what I know. God is still working on it. Even if I don't see it, He's working. Come on. Even if I don't feel it, He's working. He never stops. He never stops working. Come on. Hallelujah. Look at this. But exhort one another daily. You got to find some people to go through the desert with. But you have to have the right people. We're going to see that more clear in a minute. You're going to have to get the right people. You don't want people that are agreeing with your unbelief. Even when people call you on your unbelief, you need not to get offended by them, but be encouraged by them. Are you with me? Right? I'm not going to allow myself to go through the desert with people with unbelief. I'm going to find somebody that still believes. Whatever I'm going through, I want somebody to say, come on, hang in there. God is still working. God's not through with you. Don't give up. Don't quit, because God is God and He's still for you. Let's get into agreement. Let's just have a praise fit right now. Let's just get into a praise fit right now. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Look at it. Exhort one another daily while it's called today. Isn't that interesting? Daily while it's called today. What does that mean? You need exhortation every day. You need to encourage yourself every day. You need to remind yourself every day. Glory to God. What are you letting in? Are you letting in things that build your confidence in God? Or are you letting in things that are feeding your unbelief? You got to find somebody that will stand with you. You got to find somebody who is so mentally twisted just like you are. Well, what do I mean by that? I mean somebody that has their mind twisted toward the things of God rather than the things that seem right with the flesh, that make sense to the most people. You know, just because it's popular doesn't mean it's right. Come on. So it's like, Lord, if I want to be extraordinary, I can't be ordinary. Man, I want something to be extraordinary in my life. Well, you can't run, right? Somebody said it this way. You can't run with the turkeys and soar like an eagle. So you got to be around other eagles. Do you know that if a little eaglet doesn't want to get out of its nest, the loving mother kicks him out. Right. I think we need some kicking out to go on. Verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ. Christ, what does that mean? Christ is not Jesus' last name, but it's the title that He holds. And in the title that He holds is the definition of what He's done. Christ is the Greek, Messiah is the Hebrew, but it means that He was the anointed one, the one who brought back a people who are far from God to God. And that we are now partakers of the holiness of God because the high priest took his own blood into the throne room of God and said, here it is, here's the sacrifice for all of their sin. So I've been made righteous because the blood has been applied in the Holy of Holies in heaven. And once and for all, my sins have been dealt with, and He took my imperfections and made me perfect in His sight. Woo! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Look at. I don't have a good self-image because myself is not that good. But I have a great Christ-centered image. Right? It's all about Jesus. It's all about what Jesus has done. Jesus is in me. I am in Jesus. Glory to God. And the more I picture that, it's impossible for the unbelief to live. Yeah. verse 14 again. We have been partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. I'll tell you, the day that I got saved, I knew. First of all, that God was real. And I knew that He was talking to me. I knew that I was in His presence. I knew it. I can still, when I close my eyes, I can still see myself kneeling on the floor of a little kitchen, looking up into the moonlight, and the presence of God was just all around me the same night that I got saved. Right? You couldn't talk me out of Jesus. You couldn't talk me out of the fact that God loves me. Right? You couldn't do it. You could come in and say, well, you know, that Jesus isn't real. He's just a fairy tale. That whole Bible, that's just a book. You know, come on. No, and you know what? God even spoke to me out of the living Bible. Right? I mean, God is God. But here's the point. I need to hold fast the beginning of my confess, steadfast to the end. See, when I'm in the wilderness and I don't feel His glory, when I don't feel His presence, when things don't seem to be going exactly like they are, sometimes I just got to remember back and say, oh, no, devil. The same God who saved me is with me. And the things that He's promised me, surely He'll bring to pass. Glory to God. I'm not finished yet. God's not finished with me yet. In fact, devil, here, I'm just going to remind you of Hebrews chapter 11, where it says that some people actually died without seeing the full results of the things that they were promised. But what they were promised came to pass. Whew, glory to God. I may not see it all now, but you don't understand. The next generation after me, and the generation after that, and the generation after that, the seed that I planted is going to produce. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Again, in verse 15, while it is said today, twice in the same chapter. Today. Is this important? Yes, it is. Today, right now, if you will hear His voice, He's speaking to you right now. Right now. Through me, He's speaking to you. Through His Word, He's speaking to you. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to hear it? Or are you going to harden? Yeah, well, that works for you, Pastor, because you're blessed and I'm not... Nobody knows all the trouble I've seen. Come on, harmonize with me. Nobody knows. You know, there's truth in that. Nobody knows the heart and what you're really going through but Jesus. But Jesus isn't there putting His arm around you going, I know. It's just your lot in life to bear. He said, I died for you to have peace. I died for you to have joy. I've died for you to be an overcomer. I died for you. Get out of the funk. Come on up to where I am. You are not of the earth. You belong in heavenly places. You're seated with me up here, up here, up here. Quit staying down there. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 16. For who having heard, rebelled. Unbelief. Rebellion. Unbelief is rebellion. Unbelief is rebellion. Have you heard? What are you doing with what you heard? Are you believing or are you rebelling? Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. Go to Exodus chapter 15. We're going to the wilderness. I said, we're going to the wilderness. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody said it this way, and people will go, yay. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm just one of those shadow of death people. No, no, no. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. Come on. And look at, even though you're walking through a valley, don't stay there. Come on. I've been on hikes in the mountains, and there's times where you go down, then you go up, and then you go up, and then you go down, then you go up. But if you want to get to the place that you want to go, and you want to see that view of the lakes down in that valley that is so pristine, you have to keep walking until you get there. If you get tired in the valley and say, well, you know, I think I'll just camp right here. This is good enough. No, 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 no. You just keep muscles screaming at you. Your back is a little bit sore. But I'm trucking. Why? Because I know what's ahead. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Exodus chapter 13. 15, I'm sorry. 15. Now this is when they crossed the Red Sea. God was just incredible. God, come and think about this for a minute. This is so silly. God took the Israelites. He parted the Red Sea, and they walked through on dry ground. Now, have you ever been where a lake has been? You know, it's gone down quickly. If you try to walk in that, it's muddy. It's mucky. Right? It's hard walking. But not this one. So, and they walk through. They walk through. And then on the other side of that, here comes the Egyptians go, well, if they can walk through it, we can. But you see, they didn't have the relationship with God. And so as soon as they got almost through and they said, we're going to get them. Right. Somebody said, well, you know, that wasn't really the Red Sea. It was the Reed Sea. And it was only, you know, like 8 inches of water or whatever. Well, that's even a bigger miracle. Why? Because God drowned the whole Egyptian army in 8 inches of water. Come on. Glory to God. I mean, hallelujah. But listen, so here's the nation of Israel. We've just gone through this great victory. And us, we get inspired by God, right? We get as God does something, we hear a testimony of something happened. Glory to God. Let's sing a song. And here's the song. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider He's thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. He's my God, and Him I will praise. Him, my Father is God, and I will exalt Him. Right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's get excited. Right? Let's get excited. Hallelujah. But watch this. We go down a little bit further. Verse 20 says, then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hands. And the women went out after her with trembles and danced. And Miriam answered, sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider have been thrown into the sea. Glory to God. They're having a party. Even the ladies are dancing. There's timbrels going on. It's craziness. They're excited for God. Why? Because they've just watched God move. But what happens when opposition comes? This is us right now. What is going to happen? We're excited today because God is speaking to us. But what happens tomorrow when you wake up by yourself with your own thoughts? Right? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? If you're going to get through, you've got to do something different than what they did, because what they did got them to the place of a hardened heart. Right? So they did lose their blessing. Watch now. So verse 22 says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea and they went into the wilderness. Red Sea to the wilderness. Come on. We've been in those places where God is really blessing our lives. Things are awesome. I just got saved. I just got filled with the Holy Ghost. God healed me of this. God provided this when there was no way for that to. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, wilderness comes. You know, Jesus went through the same thing. It said he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And when he was baptized by John, and the Holy Spirit was seen coming down from a dove, and a voice rang out, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then the Holy Spirit took him to the desert. 40 days. Without food or water. And then the devil came to him. So don't be surprised that after, come on, the Red Sea, that you're going to be in a place where the wilderness comes. But your response is what will make you or break you. Right? Come on. It's easy to do what these folks did. Verse 23, now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, bitter water. They just watched God bring them through the Red Sea. What has God done for you in the past that you've forgotten that's keeping you from praising Him in the present so that you know that He'll bring you through Marah if He brought you through the Red Sea? Are you listening to me? Glory to God. And verse 24 says, and the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? The King James says they were murmuring. Murmuring and complaining in the desert is a sign of a heart that's hard. Come on. So what do you have to do? You got to tell yourself to shut up. Because you'll find some friends who belong to the murmuring club. Oh, yeah, it's too bad. It's too bad. You know, some of us just must suffer for Jesus. Even if you're going through a time of suffering, if you're really convinced that Jesus is your Lord, there should be a celebration instead of murmuring. Amen. They should have still been singing, praise God! He's the one that brought us through the Red Sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. The water's bad. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously, horse and rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. They should have kept singing. It would have kept them from murmuring. Come on. Come on. So I'm telling you what to do in the wilderness is keep singing. Keep worshiping Him. Keep talking to yourself and to God about how good He is, what He's done, what He's brought you through in the past. Begin to worship Him. Begin to say, listen, I shouldn't be in this house, but God put me in this house. I shouldn't be in this land. We shouldn't be in this building, but God brought us through what we were going through to put us where we are. Glory to God. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider thrown into the sea. Come on, hallelujah. It's time for us to worship our way through the valley, through the hard time, through the wilderness. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Get them off of your circumstances. I'm not a man that is without compassion. I know suffering that people go through. Come on, many of us have been in pain that's excruciating. It's hard. I mean double H hard to worship God when you're going through torment of any kind. Whether it be physical, mental, financial, whatever. It's hard, but hard is the right thing to do, because doing the right thing will get you from unbelief into faith. And faith is the absolute doorway into the promise. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. You all know the story that in Numbers 13, and we're not going to turn there because of time, but it talks about Moses said, listen, this is what God has promised us. He's promised us this land that flows with milk and honey. Woo! I like the milk and I like honey. Right, I want the milk and the honey. I want it all. And so the Lord says, well, and Moses said, okay, let's go spy it out. And it's interesting that he sent somebody from each tribe to go. Why? Because he promised each tribe a different section of land. In fact, Caleb, you know, the 40 years later, when said, no, I know where my land is. You don't have to help me, because I got that 40 years ago when I came in here. I said, that's mine, and I've been seeing it ever since. But Caleb, watch this, received the promise because he kept the report in his heart for 40 years. How many been in the wilderness for 40 years? Come on, anybody in the room, 40 years you've been going, I've been going through this. Well, if you go through it for 40 years with murmuring, you're going to die in it. But if you go through the 40 years with the heart of God in your heart and with His praise on your lips, with the vision that's before you, even if it takes 40 years, you're going to see it. Glory to God. Because, watch this, Caleb didn't take the land when he went in to possess it. He took the land when God said it, and he saw the land through the promise. And he and Joshua said, no, come on. The 10 other spies said, no, we're not able to take it. It's just like God said it was. It's milk and honey. I mean, look at these grapes that we brought back. It's just like he said. But there are giants in the land. Promises that God gives to you will meet resistance because the devil doesn't want you to have a testimony. Right? But you've got to see the promise through the Word of God to you so that the enemies of that won't keep you from the final possession. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I am who He says I am. I can have what He says I can have. I can do what He's told me to do. Everything that He's promised me will be mine in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I refuse to be the murmurer. I'm going to be the praiser. I said, I refuse to be the murmurer, and I'm going to be the praiser. But what you have to hook your wagon to, what you have to hook up with, is somebody that will be your Caleb to Joshua. You cannot allow the influence of the other 10 to bring you down. Now watch this. The percentages of you being one who makes it to the promise, according to this, are 20%. Are you one of the 20%ers? Are you one of the 80%ers who are going to harden their hearts to what God has told them? You got to make up your mind. You got to make up your mind. Now watch this. I believe this is important. You've got to understand, my meditating on Egypt will keep me from the promise. Now watch this. Well, at least in Egypt we had some food. The water was good in Egypt. Now watch this. Some of us suffer some things And even in the suffering, it gets us some attention that we all crave. But you got to be willing to give up that attention in order to produce the promise. Come on, we all know this. You've all been in the store, right? There's a little kid, he wants something off the candy shelf, and the mom says no. The next thing you know, this kid is at 95 decibels on the ground, screaming and yelling, right? Why? Because it works. It gets them what they want, but it doesn't produce what they need. And I'm not saying this in all cases, because that's way too blanket of a statement, and things are different. But oftentimes, kids who scream and act up, they're just wanting attention. And even if it's negative attention, at least it's attention. So if you want to change their behavior, you need to give them positive attention and quit feeding the negative attention so that they can leave the negative attention behind and start living in a positive way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of us are getting something out of the murmuring that we're doing in the wilderness. But we've got to be willing to give that up and say, I don't need that from you. What I need is this from Him. Is this making sense to anybody? Come on. It's kind of like quit murmuring. Don't allow yourself to murmur in your wilderness. Begin to praise Him in the midst of what you're going through. Glory to God. Why? Because God wants you to get to the promise instead of staying in the wilderness. Psalm 77. Glory to God. It's so easy to slip back into what's familiar. You can be singing, I will sing unto the Lord, for He is triumphed gloriously. Host and rider thrown into the sea. Oh, the Lord my God. My leg hurts. You know, if God really loved me, He'd heal me. If God was really for me like the pastor said He was, then I wouldn't be having this pain right now. Murmur. Murmur alert. Murmur alert. You're going to stay in the desert for 40 years. You might even die. But if you can get to the... I will sing unto the Lord, for He is triumphed glorious. The horse and around. I don't care if this ever straightens out. Right? He'll lift your spirit to a place where this won't make as much difference to you. And eventually you'll see His promise come through. Glory to God. Psalm 77. Hallelujah. I'm going to get the right one in a minute. I cried to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and He gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remember God and was troubled and complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old and the years of ancient times, called to remembrance the song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. In other words, I'm in a downtime, but I'm remembering the time that my spirit was right. And I'm going back, I'm digging deep. Come on, I'm digging deep. It would be easy for me to stay in my misery. We stay with God. I don't see you right now. I don't hear you right now. It doesn't seem like you even like me right now. But God, I'm digging deep because the same God who saved me is with me. The same God who said He'd never leave me nor forsake me is with me. His presence is in me. And even though I don't see it, you're working. Even though I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. Lord, I'm seeking you. I'm seeking you. You know what you said in your word? Here's what you said. If I seek you, I'll find you. So just like Caleb, when I start seeking, I'm going to start rejoicing because I've found. When I start knocking, God, is the minute that I know you've answered. Glory to God. So I'm going to rejoice when I start knocking, even though I haven't heard the answer. Glory to God. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Has His mercy ceased forever? Has His promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has in anger shut up in His tender mercy? Selah. I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High God. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate on all your works. I will talk of all your deeds. Are you listening to what I'm saying? In the wilderness, when it feels like you're forsaken, when it feels like you're deserted, when it feels like nothing's going right, when it feels like everything and everybody's against you, begin to think about, begin to meditate on, begin to remind yourself of how good God has been to you. Begin to worship Him in your pain. Begin to worship Him in your loneliness. Begin to worship Him in your despair. Come on. Here's what I'm sick of. I'm sick of God's people walking around with broken hearts when God said that He sent Jesus to heal them. God, what is it? What is it that's keeping us broken when you said you've healed us? Could it just be that we've hardened our hearts with unbelief? Ooh, glory to God. Glory. I believe I'm free in Jesus' name. I refuse to be broken. I refuse to be depressed. I refuse to be lonely. I refuse to be cast down. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. For He forgiveth all of my iniquities. He heals all my sins. Come on. Woo! Glory to God. He delights in the prosperity of His servants. I thank you, God, that you're for me. You're for me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 13 says, your way, O God, in the sanctuary. Who is so great as our God? Come on, you got to get your eyes off of you and on to Him. Ooh, glory to God. I've got to close. I was going to read more of that, but go to Psalm 121 and we'll finish there today. Hallelujah. Preach me happy. Amen. See what? Now listen to what I'm saying very carefully. I'm going to be happy whether the Seahawks win or lose. Amen. Right? The Huskies lost yesterday. Who cares? Right? Things didn't go my way with this. I'm going to trust in Him. Come on. I'm getting my eyes back on Jesus, who is my apostle. Come on. Who is my high priest. Whose house I am. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, but everybody's left me or deserted me. No, they haven't. Amen. I said, no, they haven't. First of all, He's in you. Yeah. Thank you, Daddy. Not just with you. He's in you. He said, listen, I'm going to go with the Father. We're going to pray. And my Father and I will come and make our abode with you. And they said, listen, the Holy Spirit, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, and He's another comforter, just like me. He's just the same thing. He's doing the same thing that I've been doing when I'm walking with you. But He won't just be with you, He'll be in you. Ooh, glory to God. Lord, meditate on that for a while. Meditate on what Jesus did for His disciples when He walked with them all the time. I don't think there were a lot of down days. Because when they were hungry, He used the boys' lunch and fed them. Right? When the storm came up, He just calmed the storm. Right? When the mother-in-law was sick, He just healed her. I'm going to send another who's just going to be like me. So when you're hungry, He'll feed you. Come on. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. So, Psalm 121, verse 1. I will. Everybody say, I will. I will. First of all, there's two things there. You're involved, but your will is involved. So your will is involved in every decision, every thought that you have. I'm in the desert. Oh, what it is. No, I will look to the hills where my help comes from. Now, that's a little blind to us, but let me tell you, when God would do something, they'd build an altar, and usually it was up in the high places. Why? So every time they walked by it, they could look up and see it. And it would remind them of what God had done. I will look to the hill where my help comes from. Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Shh. How many are tired of their murmuring? How many has the God spoke to maybe a little bit about something, about your attitude, and about even where you're at? Well, glory to God. I want to just become almost where people look at me weirdly. How come you're always happy? I've told this story again, but I'm going to tell it in closing. I was working in the shipyard, been working there for a lot of years. And when schedules get tight, what they do is they just put everybody on 12-hour days. So you're working 12-hour days, 7 days a week for 2 or 3 months. Well, you put anybody in that type of pressure, you know what most people get? Cranky. Right? The boss is on down. Everybody's cranky. And, you know, so we had one of our safety meetings, which in turn was really, we're going to yell at people meeting. Right? I mean, that's the way this particular one was. And what we were doing wrong, and I went back down to work on the floor with a fellow named Tom, and we're working. And man, I'm just smiling. I'm just working away, doing my thing and doing whatever I'm doing. And he says, Dugan, how can you do that? What do you mean? He says, you're working the same shifts we are. You're as tired as everybody else. You just went through that. I won't use the word he used, but that we went through, and you're smiling. How do you do that? I just turned to him. That's all I said. Tom, Jesus. Glad because Jesus is with me. I mean, people in the yard would go, how? I'll bet you hate it here. I don't hate it here. Why? Because God gave me this job. God's using this job for my provision. I love it here. Why? Because I'm not here by myself. I'm not in the wilderness alone. I'm with God, and God is with me. Amen? Y'all get something this morning? Glory to God. Let's worship Him right now. Lord, we thank You that You're with us. We thank You that You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We thank You, God, that even in what we're going through it with You, Lord. We thank You, Father. We're not going to camp in the wilderness, God. We're going right through to the promised land in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We worship You, God. We worship You. We worship You. We glorify You, God. We exalt Your name here, Lord. We look to You, God. You're our provider. You're our healer. You're our friend. You're the one who's going to part the waters, God. We thank You. Forgive us for our unbelief, God. Help us with that. But we believe, God. We are believers in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Again.